Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning a brand new series, and I'm going to start talking about the Word became flesh. This was a teaching that I did, I think it was in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, in Texas at a good friend of mine, Pastor Bob Nichols. I did it at his church. We held a Gospel Truth seminar there. And it's just kind of a combination of a number of different things, but my wife to this day says this is still her favorite teaching, that this just really ministered to her. And so I'm going to be teaching on the Word became flesh. It is a combination of a number of things. Probably the first couple of teachings in this series is teaching against what I call an abusive or extreme doctrine on the sovereignty of God. And in my opinion, this is the worst doctrine in the body of Christ. Blaming God for every rotten thing that happens in your life or in the world in general. I'm not going to emphasize that a lot right here because we're coming up to the Christmas, day of Christmas. And the heart of this teaching on the Word became flesh is about how Mary conceived the Lord Jesus and how that Jesus was born. And it has an application about how we conceive a miracle. And so the reason I'm teaching on this now is because of the Christmas season coming up. I think that a lot of people just, you know, during Christmas time, they talk about the birth of Jesus, but they use these scriptures and some of these things to kind of create a Christmas mood or a Christmas spirit, and they get a very surface understanding of the birth of Jesus, and they've heard it so many times that they think, oh, well, I've got this down. And yet, I really believe that very few people have understood the real significance of what it means when it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so I'm going to delve into this. And so I'm going to skip some of the first part of the teaching that's in this series. And for about 2 weeks, I'm going to kind of summarize a five-part teaching. So this is going to be an abbreviated teaching of it. Again, I would really like to encourage you to get this teaching because this is a powerful teaching. As I said, my wife thinks that's the best that I've done or the one that she likes the best, and I believe it'd be a real blessing to you. But I want to focus primarily on how the Word became flesh. And this is I'm borrowing this phraseology from the book of John. And in John chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And you'll notice in the King James Bible that this is capitalized. This is talking about Jesus. And as you go on and read the text, this is clearly speaking about the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. You could compare this with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. There are some people that have problems with that and try and demote Jesus to be in an inferior position, that he was only a prophet or a great man and a person that was a tremendous example, but they don't believe that he was God. But the Word clearly states that he was God. As a matter of fact, I'm coming back to this verse, but let me just turn over here quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is, and in verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." This says that God was manifest in the flesh. When did God ever become manifest in the flesh? Well, the obvious answer to this is when Jesus was born. This verse just clearly says Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. You put that together with John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And then the next phrase says, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. I don't know how anybody gets around this. And again, this is not my point in trying to just preach on the deity of the Lord Jesus, but it is an established fact in Scripture. We could go into many, many scriptures that prove that. But this just clearly says for anybody who believes the Bible that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. Man, that's powerful. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, when you couple this with Colossians chapter 1, let me just turn over to Colossians 1, and let's start reading with verse 12. It says, "...giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And here it's talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, this is speaking about Jesus. You put this together with John chapter 1, where it says all things were created by Him, and you put these verses together, and again, Jesus was present at creation. Jesus, as God, created everything. And yet there is a clear distinction between Jesus and His Father. For instance, you can see in Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, where Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist. It said that there was an audible voice out of heaven from God the Father that said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. So you see all three persons of the Trinity. God the Father spoke in an audible voice. The Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove. And of course, Jesus was present. And these verses that I've already used show that Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And yet God spoke out of the heavens, and God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon Him. You see God in three separate manifestations right there. And you know what? I can't understand this, and I don't have an adequate explanation for the Trinity. I really don't. It's just beyond our conception how three persons can exist as in three separate manifestations and yet be one God. I've had people try and relate it to water, how that water can be ice and it can be liquid and then it can be steam. And so here's three manifestations and yet they're all one. But it can't exist in all three of those at one time. I've had people talk about, you know, how an egg, there's a shell and then there's a white and then there's the yolk, but they can't be separated and still called an egg. But with God, He exists in all three persons at one time. They are separate, and yet they are one. And the way that we've tried to express this is to entitle it the Trinity. But you know what? It just, again, from my way of thinking, maybe somebody else is a lot smarter than I am, but from my way of thinking, it's one of those things I can't totally wrap my brain around, but I can see it in Scripture. If you go back into the book of Genesis, I'm not going to take time to turn over there, but for your own study, if you would go back to Genesis chapter 1 at the creation, He says, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea," etc. I mean, God here is speaking and saying, "Let us." It's in the plural. Matter of fact, again, the Hebrew word, I'm not a great Hebrew or Greek scholar, but from what I understand, the Hebrew word Elohim is a plural name. And it's reflected in the translation when it says, "Let us make man in our own image." And so, again, I don't have a total explanation for it, but Jesus is God. And that doesn't subtract from God the Father. That doesn't take away from the Holy Spirit. They are all God. And yet they can be manifest separately. They did come, Jesus came to the earth. And these verses make it very clear that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Everything that was created was made by Him. In verse 4 it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." You know, there's a lot of things in these verses, but one of the things that this is saying is that God is the one who is the light. He's the one that lightens every man that comes into the world. It'll go on and say that. And yet, people don't comprehend Him. People don't even know their Creator. The darkness, we are in darkness and don't understand that God is the one that gave us light. That, what a sad thing that is, that people don't recognize the God who created them. In verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." The Lord is the one that gives us our breath. He gives us our life. He not only gives us life, but He enlightens us. He has an intuitive revelation on the inside of every person who has ever lived that there is a God. You know, right now, I just know in my heart that there's people that have scanned the dial, or for whatever reason, you've lit upon this program, you're watching this and wondering, what's this about? And you're saying, I don't know if there's a God. I don't believe any of this stuff is true. And yet, according to the Word of God, it says God lights every man that comes into this world. You know what? The truth is, if you would be honest, and if you would drop your prejudice and your desire not to believe in God because it justifies an ungodly lifestyle and allows you to live like an animal, and if you would just open up your heart and say, God, are you real? I guarantee you, God is enlightening. He's showing the truth to every single person. And there is no such thing as a true atheist. Now, there are people who can harden their heart against God, and I believe that over a period of time they can get to where they can be a God hater and truly deny Him. But if you put a gun to an atheist head and say, I'm going to kill you, they'll cry out to the God they say they don't believe in. I'm always amused by these people who on television, they'll sit there and they're living a totally ungodly lifestyle. They don't have, God is not anything in their life at all. And yet when they swear, they will curse and swear by the name of Jesus. They will cry out and say, oh my God, and they say they don't even believe in Him. It's just a mind game. At a heart level, there is not a single person that has ever breathed upon this planet that does not believe in God. That's what the Scripture says. A really clear passage of Scripture on this is Romans chapter 1. Let me just turn over and read this quickly. But Paul had just made the statement in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel, talking about the good news about how much Jesus loves us, is the power of God unto salvation. And the religious mind always says, no, people have to know that they're a sinner. You have to tell them how bad they are. You have to make them feel the fear of God and the wrath of God and let them know how ungodly they are. And so religious people will often speak against grace and speak against the preaching of the gospel. And for that reason, Paul said these things in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And if you look this up, in the Greek language that this was translated from, this literally is saying that the wrath of God has already been revealed from heaven. In other words, you don't have to tell people what terrible sinners they are. On a heart level, everybody knows that there's only one God and they are not Him. And when people come to death, I guarantee you they know that there is something more. They know that they need to get right with God. Now, we can get into mind games, and people can associate themselves with other people that harden their heart and reinforce their atheistic and agnostic values and beliefs. And they can get into these mind games, and they can live on a level to where they deceive themselves and deceive others. But at a heart level, again, you put a gun to their head, they're going to call out to this God they say they don't believe in. It's just a lie. It's not the truth. This says that the wrath of God has already been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. This is talking about it's manifest in us, not just to us. This isn't something that we learn by other people teaching us. But inside of every one of you watching this program, you know that there's a God. You may not have a clear understanding about who He is and about what it takes to become right with Him, and there's a lot of confusion. But I mean the simplest truth, that there is a God, is revealed to every person who's watching this program. Did you know you can just look at the history of the world and missionaries as they've gone out to every culture on the face of the earth? There is not a single culture that has ever existed on this planet that doesn't have a belief in a God. Now, they come up with all kinds of different ways how to get there, and they pervert it. But the fact that there is this core belief among every person, you can't find any tribal group on the face of the earth that doesn't believe in a deity, that a creator that they are accountable to. Now, the ways that they reconcile themselves to him, of course, there's many different ways. But the fact that there is a core belief, a core knowledge inside of every person who's ever existed that there is a God speaks volumes. And if a person was truly objective and listening, they would have to take this witness and say, there must be an intuitive knowledge on the inside of every person that there is a God. That's what this is talking about. God has placed this knowledge in every person. It's like a homing device. God is our creator, and he placed a homing device on the inside of every one of us that if we would listen to it, it would be drawing us back to God. It starts bringing up these questions about, is this all that there is to life? Do I just live and then die and then cease to exist? And you start wondering about, where did I come from? Who am I? Where am I going? Did you know that these are universal questions that are inside of every person, and God placed that there as a homing device to draw us to relationship with him? And so this is what Paul is saying, that you don't have to tell people about how sorry they are, because at a heart level, everybody knows that there's a God. Everybody recognizes God's wrath against our unrighteousness. There's an intuitive knowledge. And then in the next verse it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This isn't just a vague representation. It may not have all of the details, but there is a clear, very clear knowledge inside of every person who has ever lived on this earth that there is a God, that they did not evolve, that they are accountable to this God, and that someday they are going to have to give an account of their actions. They are without excuse. Nobody, I don't care if they lived in the remote jungles and nobody, they never saw another person or whatever, there is not going to be a single person stand before God and claim ignorance. I never knew. No, there is a heart knowledge on inside of every person about these truths. You know, I was in Vietnam, and I was a chaplain's assistant, and I conducted a Bible study there, and I had about 7 or 8 people in this Bible study, and a man came in and sat down after I'd already started this Bible study, and he listened for a while, and then he raised his hand, and he started asking questions, and he was asking these theological questions that, you know, I was just pretty new in the Lord, and I'd never even thought about it, and I certainly didn't have an answer, and I said, I don't know. And he just question after question, and pretty soon he got to talking about that he was an atheist. He didn't believe there was a God. This Bible is untrue. You can't prove any of this stuff. And I mean, he just pummeled me. Turned out he was a Princeton graduate. He was a super intellectual, and he brought all of these theological arguments and just ridiculed me and made fun of me. And I mean, he got up and he says, this is stupid. I'm getting out of here. And the 7 guys that were in my Bible study left with the atheist. It didn't look very good. And I was just sitting there kind of stunned, and I was praying and saying, God, what's the answer? How do I respond to people like this? And after about 20 or 30 minutes, this atheist walks back in, and I was in a library type thing, and he sat down and started looking at some books. And I was just sitting there, and I closed my eyes, and I was praying, and I said, oh, God, give me another chance. How do I reach this guy? And I was praying that God would give me another chance to minister to him. And after everybody else left, this guy just walked over to me and he says, I want what you've got. And I was shocked. I looked at him like, you do? You just made a fool out of me. I said, why do you want what I have? And he says, my whole life is built on an argument. It's all intellect. And he said, I out-argued you. I made you look stupid. And he says, and yet you still believe. You mentioned that you know God's real because you've talked to him. You have a relationship with him. He says, I out-argued you and intellectually made you look stupid, but you've got something that's beyond just intellect. You've got a relationship with God. He says, I want what you've got. And I was able to lead this guy to the Lord and get him born again. And, you know, my point is, see, there are people that can get into these mind games, and as long as they just stay on this surface level and operate out of their intellect, they can sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'm an agnostic or I'm an atheist. But you just peel back the layers. You get to their heart. And at a heart level, there is not a single person breathing, according to these verses in Romans chapter 1, that does not know that there is a God. He has revealed himself from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. There's an intuitive knowledge. They are without excuse. I got all of that from back in John chapter 1. Where it says, He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus has revealed himself to every single person. In verse 10 it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Again, what a sad statement to think that his own creation doesn't even recognize him. But we become so sophisticated. Did you know modern man has gotten to where we have all of these conveniences and all of these things that you can literally get into a state of mind where you just live in a fantasy world. You don't have to deal with reality. In previous generations, it was much simpler than this. People had to go out and plant a seed. And if that seed didn't grow, they had to deal with the fact that I might starve to death. They had to pray for rain. They had to deal with these things. They saw God in work. But there's a lot of people that think that your food comes from the grocery store. They don't even understand the laws of God. And we just have removed ourselves so much from these things. And it's amazing that the world was made by Him. We were created by Him, and yet we didn't even know Him. But it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what I'm beginning to talk about how Jesus came to this earth. The Word became flesh. And I tell you, I'm going to share some things, especially using this Christmas season and the story about the birth of Jesus, to reveal some things about the true nature of God that I think are going to be a big influence in your life. We're out of time today, but I will continue this on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in then. Also, to contact us and get this teaching that I have entitled, The Word Became Flesh.
This week's teaching is a condensed version of the complete series titled, The Word Became Flesh. The entire teaching was recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar and is available on either CD or DVD. Or you can get the original five-part DVD series as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled The Word Became Flesh, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a special 3-day Gospel Truth Seminar, January 3rd through the 5th. And in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Karis Bible College Men's Advance, January 17th through the 19th. He'll also be in Humble, Texas, January 24th, in San Antonio, Texas, January 26th, in Santa Clara, California, February 7th, in Anaheim, California, February 8th, and in Pasadena, California, February 9th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was born into this church. We listen because we were told if we didn't, God would strike us with a sickness. He would make us something happen in our life. We could even possibly die. My name's Virginia. And one day, for some odd reason, I turned the TV on and a man's voice started filling my living room. And I had no antennas. The TV did not work for anything but the VCR. And here it was, getting this voice. There was no picture, just this voice.
Jesus came and took your punishment, and he suffered for your sins, literally went to hell, was resurrected from the dead, and offers you eternal life free of charge. Now that's the good news.
And I had to listen, and it was incredible. God started teaching me his word. It was through these teachings that I started to hear about this Jesus who was God, who came and did this work on the cross, who took away our sins and did all this. It was incredible. And God started reaching my heart and changing my life. It was transforming. When he says he sets you free, it's the truth. I never experienced it till now, and that is awesome. Now I'm free. I am free in Christ now.
Are you going to the men's advance?
I'm going.
I'm going.
Karis Bible College, Colorado proudly presents our annual Men's Advance in Colorado Springs, January 17th through 19th, 2013. Are you going?